Good morning and welcome to our site on this Mother's Day, the 10th of May, 2026. I've entitled my sermon for Mother's Day, Faith, Hope, and Love. If you have a Bible handy, please turn with me to probably the greatest passage on love that has ever been written. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. These three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Are we doing well on this Mother's Day? God is most definitely a God who measures. The Bible shows that He measures our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. He even measures our motives. And heaven keeps a perfect record. One day when we stand before God, the record book will be taken down and read. And on the basis of what is in there, we will be rewarded or suffer loss. God measures and records, not to catch us out, but to make sure that we get everything He longs to give us. It will take all eternity to enjoy what God is preparing for those who love Him. But His rewards, the Bible clearly teaches, will be according to and in accordance with our faithfulness. We don't deserve heaven's rewards, but they're there. They are there to be gained or lost. In His Word, God shows us what and how He measures, so that we ourselves can constantly do our own little subtotaling, a little subtotaling exercise from time to time, to see how we're getting on. That's what we're going to do this week. Measure our lives against the measurements of God, because in the end, God's assessment is going to be all that matters. And God measures so differently to the world. Have you noticed that? The world measures your looks, your house, your car, your talents, your income, your wealth, your lifestyle. The world looks at where you live, what you drive, how you dress, where you shop, what school or university you go to or have been to. God measures your likeness to Christ and your obedience to His will. God measures your likeness to Christ and your obedience to His will for your life. In this beautiful passage to the Corinthians that I've just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul shows that God's ultimate measure is the display of qualities like faith, hope, and love, the greatest being love. Stands to reason, doesn't it, if God is love, and all His requirements are summed up in these words, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus adds a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. So let's begin where Paul begins, with faith. A great definition of the biblical meaning of faith is the well-known acrostic, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. On this Mother's Day, I'm sure many in our congregation here in Fishhook, South Africa, are giving thanks for the faith of their mothers. I certainly am. I even thank God for my mother-in-law. Without her, I wouldn't have had the life partner that I've had for over 60 years. How I thank God for my mother and my mother-in-law. How I cherish every remembrance of them. Through their faith in God, they overcame difficulties. They conquered their fears and they finished their race with trust wholly in Jesus. Their faith matched the assignment that God had given them to raise families that would want to follow their example of wholehearted commitment to the Lord and his will for their lives. The writer to the Hebrews shows us that all God's faith heroes were just weaklings like you and me, who dared to trust God to do the impossible. They all had their faults too, just like you and me, but that didn't stop God using them. Gideon was frightened, Barak was hesitant, Samson was flippant, Jephthah was rash, David was sensuous, Samuel was careless. But their stories are legendary. Gideon routed the Midianite hordes. Samson did the Philistines in. Barak conquered the mighty Sisera, with Deborah's help, of course. These people who had faith that are mentioned in the Bible, these people who conquered kingdoms, routed foreign armies, survived the fury and the fiery furnace, shut the mouths of lions and saw city walls collapse. Their faith in God gave them a boldness and a fortitude that was not natural to them. But by faith, they opened their lives to the promises of God, the purposes of God, and the power of God. That was the common denominator of all these heroes of faith mentioned in the Bible. They opened their lives by faith to the promises of God, the purposes of God, and the power of God. Turn to the New Testament, and it's exactly the same story with the Jewish and Gentile believers who were justified by faith in Jesus, sanctified by faith, and served Christ and his church by faith, many of them giving their lives for Christ and for the gospel. They all teach us that authentic faith will lead to faithfulness. Authentic faith will lead to faithfulness. We see it in Mary, the mother of Jesus. We see it in the group of women who followed him all through his ministry and took care of his needs and followed him to the end, even to when he was crucified. And we see it in Mary of Magdala at the garden tomb. And just so today, God measures our faith. He measures the depth of our trust in his word. He measures our willingness to step out on the promises of God. He measures our ability to persevere against all odds and opposition. He measures our ability to praise him, even when we cannot discern his sovereign and mysterious ways. He measures the extent to which we are faithful in the stewardship of our time, our talents, and our treasures. He measures the extent to which we are refreshing others spiritually. Am I measuring up? Are you measuring up in terms of faith this morning? The next abiding quality which God measures is hope. Hope. My nephew, Jerry Askoff, was born out of wedlock, adopted from childbirth, raised by a godly couple, a doctor and his wife, and in his middle years, by the grace of God, came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. It happened at a time when his second marriage was breaking up. He was kind of at his wit's end. He was a VIP pilot, and he was in his hotel room in London, waiting for his return back to Johannesburg, to his wife, who had made an appointment for him to see her pastor. Otherwise, their marriage was at an end. He saw a Gideon Bible on the locker beside his bed in the hotel room in London. He picked it up, and in his desperation, he cried out, "O God, if you are there, this is your book. Please speak to me." He picked up the Bible and saw that it was a book of many books, and he didn't know where to start. And he asked God, "Where do I start?" And so he looked through the list of books in the Bible, and he saw Jeremiah, and his name was Jeremy, so he thought, well, he'll turn to Jeremiah. And then he thought, well, where? And the only thing he could think of was the fact that on Monday, when he got back to Johannesburg, he had this appointment with his wife's pastor. It was on the 29th, and it was between 11 and 12 o'clock. So he looked up in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12, and this is what he read. "The plans I have for you, says the Lord, are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jerry broke down and surrendered his life to Christ, could hardly wait to get back to his wife, to have the meeting with the pastor, and wholly commit his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Became a transformed person with a transformed marriage and life in his encounter with Jesus, when it seemed like all hope was gone. The God of hope stepped in and saved Jerry. And today he rejoices in the goodness of God and shares his testimony of the amazing grace of God that brought hope to a hopeless soul. Jeremiah, as you know, not only gives us the prophecy that bears his name, but also the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah's lament over the state of Jerusalem. It's been labeled his sobbing requiem. The tears of weeping, the tears of the weeping prophet splash on every page. But through his tears, Jeremiah writes these immortal words, "Your love is renewed toward us morning by morning. Great is your faithfulness." The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, "Those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." The psalmist said, "No one who hopes in you, Lord, will ever be put to shame." And the Apostle Paul exhorts the Roman Christians in his Roman Epistle, chapter 12 and verse 12, "Be joyful in hope." Be joyful in hope. Don't know if you ever read Viktor Frankl's book, Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl was a prisoner of war in a Nazi prisoner of war camp during the Nazi invasion during the Second World War, and he noticed that those who lost hope died quicker than the rest. And he quotes in his book this famous quotation now, "Man can bear with almost any how if he has a why to live for." Man can bear with almost any how if he has a why to live for. God fills us as his children with hope. God gave Abraham a hope expressed in a promise that even in old age his wife Sarah would bear a son, the son of the promise of God's covenant. God gave Joseph a hope expressed in a dream that one day God would exalt him to a place of prominence where he would be one who provided for many and be a blessing to nations. God gave Hannah a promise expressed in a prayer that if God gave her a son, that son would be dedicated to the Lord. And the result was Samuel, one of the greatest of the prophets. God gave Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, a hope expressed in a conviction that one day the Babylonian exiles would return and Jerusalem would be rebuilt. God gave the Apostle Paul a hope, a burning desire to take the gospel of salvation to the nations. God gave the aged Apostle John a hope, an absolute certainty that he would see the Lord and be with him forever. What is hope? Like faith, hope is a confidence in God that he will fulfill his promises, the confidence that God will not fail to come through in our time of need. We all need hope, and our hope is inspired by prayer and praise and fellowship and perseverance. Now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. How many of us today are so thankful for a mother's love? Love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. What a great definition the Apostle Paul gives to us in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What a wonderful definition of love. Yes, love is supreme. God measures our life this morning by our love for himself, our love for each other, and our love for those who do not yet know him. How can we measure our love for God? Wesley Duvall has a few interesting suggestions. He says, measure your love by the number of times you think of Jesus during your day. Measure your love by the number of times you think of Jesus during your day. When you truly love someone, you can't help thinking about them, often. When I met Elaine in 1961, I couldn't stop thinking about her. I still think about her sometimes. Now, jokes aside, how many times a day do you just take a moment to tell Jesus how much you love him? Here's another test. Measure your love for the Lord by the quality of your daily quiet time with him, your time of study and meditation in the Bible, the Word of God, your unhurried time of praise and prayer, of worship. How much time is spent not in asking but in adoration? And what about your hunger for his Word? Are the ears of your soul open to the Word of God every day? Are you seeking first his kingdom or your little kingdom of one? How does God measure our love for our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those of a different class or culture or color? Do we long for their fellowship, or do we just stick to those within our own little group? Our own little holy huddle? Do we mix with those of other denominations and fellowships? Do we overlook their failures? In what ways are we helping our brothers and sisters in Christ to grow to maturity in Christ? Are we fulfilling the one another verses of Scripture? So many of them. Are we building each other up? Are we encouraging one another? Are we bearing one another's burdens? Are we loving one another? Are we taking care of their needs? Finally, God measures our love for those who are lost, who have no personal relationship with Christ or his church. The church is the one institution in the world that lives for those who are not yet members. Are you joining Jesus in his search for the lost, the oppressed, the hurting, the marginalized, the voiceless? Does your heart break over the things that break the heart of God? The intercession of Jesus took him to the cross. Is there a cross in your intercession and mine? The question Jesus asked Simon Peter on the sunlit shore of Lake Galilee so long ago is the question he asks of us all on this Mother's Day this morning. Do you love me? Do you truly love me? Now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you today on this beautiful Mother's Day morning for the text of Holy Scripture and for this beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians 13, this passage that defines love. And we thank you, our Father, that you have shown us in your word that you are a God who measures, and you measure the extent of these abiding qualities in our lives as your children. You measure our faith. You measure our hope. You measure our love. Forgive us, Lord, where we fall so far short of the mark of your glory, the character of Jesus. But we thank you that in Christ there is forgiveness. In Christ there is cleansing through his precious blood shed on the cross. In Christ there is newness of life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in Christ there is all that we need to love you, Lord, with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself, and to love one another as you have loved us. And so we pray that as we journey on with you, Lord Jesus, you would inspire us and help us to grow in faith, hope, and love to your eternal glory. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before his glorious presence with shouts of exceptional joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. Amen.
When peace, my God.